Hey, it's Joey and Simon, and welcome to The Edge Show. This is season one.
Season one, episode three now.
We've had two action-packed episodes, but today we're going to take it one step further, and I guess the first thing to do is we're going to start off with some news.
That's right.
We have some new things that have come out.
A few releases, all from the Solutions Accelerator team.
Now, I have to say that this Solution Accelerator team is probably one of the most underrated, underutilized tools, and these guys put out some awesome work. Actually, the things that we're going to talk about today are three of my personal favorite ones, Solution Accelerators. I've used previous iterations of them in the days of managing desktops and stuff. So let's kick it off and start with the first one, which is the map tool.
That's right.
People still use maps.
Planning toolkit.
It's not just about replacing the map with the GPS. No, this is the assessment and planning tools. These things are awesome.
Great way to get started, right? You're thinking of a new deployment, thinking of moving to a virtualized data center, to a private cloud, figure out what do my servers do today? What do I need to do to get them ready for the next version?
Or even finding out what servers and services you actually have.
Oh, exactly, because it scans the whole environment. Agentless discovery, so you simply set it up, get it running, set some counters as far as how long do you want to scan, what type of information to collect, which servers to look at, collect this data for a few days, so you know you have a good sample, right? You're not just hitting it at the peak time, so you get some good variation. You can see how the servers are being used, see which should be good for consolidation, which should be used for Hyper-V, and a whole lot of other information.
So the great thing is that they've now just announced the beta for the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Tools version 6.5.
6.5.
And I actually am really excited. There's a couple of key things that they've extended and made a lot better in the version 6.5 of the product. I want to cover a few of these with you. Now, we know you as the private cloud master.
That's right.
And the core underlying technology within private clouds is Hyper-V and virtualization. And we've talked a lot in the past about Hyper-V Fast Track, which is kind of this ability to go out to a vendor and buy some pre-configured solutions to really quickly get on board with Hyper-V. And there is now an updated map tool that helps with this Hyper-V Fast Track.
Exactly. So version 6.5, it will actually pull in all of this different Hyper-V Fast Track referent architecture. So this Fast Track program, the Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track program, it has six of our biggest vendors working with us to provide out-of-the-box solutions. So these come pre-configured with storage, networking, high availability, computational power, OS installation, pretty much everything you need to go to simply plug in a few servers, connect them to the network, join the domain, and you're up and running. You've extended all of your computing capabilities simply by plugging a few buttons in, turning on a few switches. And what Map's going to do is going to scan your environment. It's going to ask you, you know, do you have a preferred vendor? And then based on your preference, based on your recommendation, it could point you to a preferred reference architecture. So depending on what type of servers you have, the processors, the architecture, things like that, the amount of scale capacity you need, preferred storage vendor, you can actually get some guidance to just get one of these easy cloud fast track programs.
And the great thing is it's going to take your existing server infrastructure and it's going to give you a recommendation. Hey, look, these would be a great workload that you can start consolidating and really kind of get a jump start on building that private cloud for you.
Absolutely.
So there's a couple of other key pieces that they've got in here. One is the ability to discover Oracle instances. So if you're looking at shifting your Oracle workloads over to SQL Server, it's going to go ahead and it's going to scan on Itanium-based servers here, mm-hmm. as long as you've got that HPUX and the Itanium-based server there. And it will really help you kind of plan that migration. And what's really cool is it talks about the complexity. Right, so it's going to say, "Hey, this workload." It's going to kind of give you an estimate on, you know, the complexity and what it's going to take to get that migration from Oracle to SQL Server. And then, of course, and we're going to talk a little bit later after the news segment on some stuff with the public cloud and Windows Azure. But Windows Azure, there's a Windows Azure migration tool in the Map Toolkit. It's been there for it was in the last release. It's going to be updated in version 6.5, really to kind of help look at the stuff that you've got running on premises today. take a look at those web servers, those workloads, get a scan and say, hey, look, this is a great candidate to move up into Windows Azure. And also it kind of helps do some estimation on, you know, ROI. Right. So you can take a look and go, oh, look, this is the potential savings I could have by moving this workload off of this server and up into the public cloud with Windows Azure. And that's just the first tool from the solution.
Two more that just came out as well.
Absolutely. Now, if you're a desktop dude, you probably know this next one, the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit.
That's right. Version 2010 with their Update 1 beta just came out.
2012.
You're right.
Version 2012.
Version 2012.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. You're stuck in the past, too. I get it. We see the same numbers. But yeah, so the deployment toolkit, this thing, if you have to do OS deployments, should be the first place that you start.
Well, not just OS deployments as well, right? Don't forget, MDT covers everything. It covers office deployments, you know, the client, the server, VMs, pretty much anything you need to deploy because it has such a strong integration with Configuration Manager.
Yep.
So easy to use, easy to set up. And I think one of the nicest things that they've just released in this beta update, they have the ability to really give the end user the ability to kind of pick their OS installation. So working with Config Manager 2012, they get a nice little prompt, gives them a list of options of how they want to go and deploy their OS, what key applications and services they want to go and install it. So really, kind of going back to this concept of private cloud self-service enabling the end user, kind of has that same concept of giving some self-service usability as well.
Now, and in this beta release is what we support System Center 2012, the System Center 2012 configuration manager tool. So you can do zero touch and light touch deployments and start kind of playing around with the beta. And you guys talked about that beta last week, correct?
We have, yeah. We covered some of the betas, some of the key enhancements with consumerization of IT, covering System Center 2012 configuration manager.
Awesome. So you start off, you do your discovery using MAP 6.5, you do your deployment using the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit 2012. Release one, I guess is a that's a
update one.
Okay,
one
there you go. All these names,
too
it's
many.
Just confusing. It's just confusing. And then finally, so you've done your assessment, you've done your deployment. Now we got to secure these things. And I'll tell you what, coming from a world where I had to deal with compliance, right? We had to deal with all sorts of things, whether it be HIPAA or whether it be payment card industry or maybe just managing your own organization's security policies. That can really be a nightmare, and this next tool is out there to help. It's the Security Configuration Manager.
That's right. The Security Compliance Manager.
Sorry. See, now it's my turn to screw it up.
Too many names here.
Yeah, Security Compliance Manager 2.0. It was in beta. It was very well accepted. A lot of people wanted to get into the beta. Couldn't get in. That's okay. The beta's over. It's released now, so you can go check that out and go download it. I love this tool.
Well, one of my favorite things is the ability to take a golden copy of any server. So you have this server that's configured perfectly using group policy, using System Center Configuration Manager. You take a snapshot of it, it's your golden image. So what it's actually going to do is go through all the registry settings, look at each of those settings for, you know, your preferred options, firewall settings, network, security, communication, admins, things like that. I create this kind of registry as a golden copy. Using that as a baseline, you can then go and compare it to other servers in your environment, so you could quickly kind of figure out which other servers map to this, which don't. And then you can even compare it to industry best practices. Industry standards, you know, security things such as HIPAA, SOX, you know, some of these are just key baselines which you might need to be restricted by based on your own government, based on your own industry. So just a great streamlined way to check out, is this my good server? How are my other servers doing against it? How am I doing compared to the industry standards?
And it's not just for servers. You can do it with desktops as well. And one of the cool features that's in the 2.0 release is the ability to actually configure standalone machines. Not every environment has domain joy machines. I mean, you talk about manufacturing and those things. You've got these machines that are sitting out, you know, on some manufacturing floor. They're not joined to the domain, but you still want to have that degree of security and that good warm fuzzy feeling inside that those systems are secured according to the best practices, not only to your organization. You mentioned take some of our learning, take some of the learning that we've done here at Microsoft as it relates to security and the things that we even have to deal with on our own desktops.
Oh, yeah.
And you can implement those into your organization. So it's really cool. So all these new security guides and best practices and everything, the ability to do standalone workstations as well as standalone machines, non-domain joined machines, and get some of those new things, and that's in SCM 2.0, which has actually released.
That's correct. And to get all of these solutions accelerators, the URLs are easy. For Security and Compliance Manager, Microsoft.com/SCM. For MAP, Microsoft.com/MAP. For the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, Microsoft.com/MDT.
All right. Well, Simon Cole, it's been great having you here for the news, but we're going to kind of go down the road of some more public cloud stuff here next. I have Michael coming in. We're going to talk about some PowerShell commandlets for Windows Azure. There's some really great stuff, so stay tuned.
And I will see you next week as we cover infrastructure management in the private cloud.
Thanks, Simon.
Thanks.
All right, welcome back to The Edge Show. I am here with Senior Technical Evangelist Michael Washam. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Joey, for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. So we're going to talk some Windows Azure.
Right.
And specifically, we're going to talk about some PowerShell stuff.
Right.
Now, a lot of IT pro guys, they're starting to see Windows Azure starting to creep their way into some of their enterprises. And they're like, whoa, hang on a second. You know, we got to manage this deployment. We've got to manage the management of these services.
Yep.
And we've got to monitor these things. Now, I've done a few discussions and done a few talks, and we showed a little bit of PowerShell.
Okay.
Now, my understanding is you've got some new updated PowerShell commandlets that are going to help us out here a little bit.
We have. We've actually took the existing 1.0 commandlets, and we had a lot of learning, right? The 1.0 commandlets have been out for quite a while, so we've had a lot of people use them. We've had a lot of feedback, what they can and can't do, and we took the best pieces of that feedback and we added them into the 2.0 deployment. Now, the one thing that, with 2.0 is we did have to clean up some of them. So if you're a heavy PowerShell user from the 1.0 commandlets, they might take a little tweaking to work with the 2.0 piece. But
so you changed some of the commandlets?
We broke a few of them.
Okay.
We made them better, which is always good. So one of the key things we did is before there were two sets of commandlets. There was access control service commandlets and the Windows Azure core commandlets. They were two separate downloads. If you had both of them in your solution, you had to have two separate downloads, two separate commandlets, two separate snap-ins, et cetera. It was kind of a mess. So we took those two and we combined them together. So there's now a single install for both ACS and Windows Azure.
Okay.
The other key thing that we did is part of the problem with the 1.0 commandlets is you could script the deployment almost. you could once you had a hosted service created in the in the portal and you had a storage account created in the portal, you could actually deploy your service. But what happens if you actually wanted to script out creating that storage account or the hosted service? So we added a lot of new functionality that basically allows you to take your service and deploy it end to end without actually ever going to the portal other than to set up your cert in the first place. So you can now create a hosted service. I have a couple of notes here. I'm not a PowerPoint guy. So if you can see my screen here, you can create hosted services, you can create storage accounts and affinity groups. And I actually have a really nice long script here. I'm not going to run it because it takes about 30 minutes to run. But you can see that we can get all of your settings from an XML file. This has your hosted service name, your storage account name, your certificate, everything you would need actually connect out to the service. And this one script can basically take your package and kick it off and dump it out to Windows Azure, create the hosted service end-to-end. It's a really good example if you're trying to figure out how to do this. It shows you how to use all the new deployment commandlets, such as new hosted service and adding certificates and creating new storage accounts. So that's one of the key pieces that we focused on.
I love the fact that you can do a new storage account and a new hosted service because before, like you mentioned,
right.
You know, when in my script I'd have to use, you know, I'd go set it up and then I'd go get hosted service and then I'd finally, you
right.
know, get all the, make sure we're getting the right one because
exactly.
you don't want to deploy over something that you know, you've already got running and going and breaking something.
So. Exactly. So in addition to all the enhanced deployment pieces, we also added three other areas, beefed up one of them tremendously and added two new whole areas. Diagnostics, before in Windows Azure PowerShell, you could actually configure all your diagnostics. You can configure your perfmon counters, tracing, event logs, but you couldn't do anything with them once they were there. You had to go download other tools or, you know, write code to actually get that diagnostic data down. With the new 2.0 commandlets, we've actually wrote some code or added commandlets that allow you to download all the data. And in the case of Perfmon, we actually converted over to the native Perfmon format, the BLD.
Now, I want to talk about this one because this was one of those pain points that I had.
Right.
When we talk about monitoring applications in Windows Azure, you set up your diagnostics data and everything. Then you go and you transfer the data down, and you're looking at basically text files of information.
Right, a bunch of text files, which if you're Excel master, that's good. But
I'm an IT guy. I am so not an Excel master. I like pretty graphs.
Right.
So using these new commandlets, can I go out, take my Perfmon data, and actually get it in Perfmon format where I see pretty pictures and graphs?
You can. So got a real quick snippet of code that does this, if I can find it here. So let me uncomment this. And I am cheating a little tiny bit. This get diagrolls snippet, this is a function somewhere else. It's about 5 lines of code. But what it really does is it says, okay, whatever my active hosted service is, and I have a variable defined what that is somewhere, give me all the roles in the service that have diagnostics enabled on them. So if you've already configured your Perfmon counters, et cetera, diagnostics is enabled on them. From there, I get a collection of each of those roles, and I create a file name variable. And I'm just basically doing the role, whatever the role name is. So if I have a web role, a worker role, or whatever, and concatenate in that BLG format.
Look at that, yep, the BLG format.
And finally, I'm calling the get perfmon log commandlet. And that takes a format. I can actually pass in CSV, so if you like the text, it's still there. And you can actually download that too. Or if you pass in BLG, it'll actually download these in the native Perfmon format. So I'm going to go ahead and run this, and it's going to loop through. I have a service out there. It's a demo mortgage rate service that has 3 different roles on it. So it'll loop through, and each time it'll actually call the get Perfmon log for that role and download that data to a local file system.
So each one of those 3 roles has got diagnostics set up, and you're going to go grab performance data off of each one of those.
Okay. Now the beautiful thing about this is I'm doing this per role. I actually could tweak this around where I could download one BLG, and it would look at all the different roles as an individual server name. So however you want to do this, but I'm more granular, right? I want to see what each individual service is doing. So the script downloaded, and you can see in my diag data folder I have 3 BLG files. Now, they're pretty small. I just enabled diagnostics like 5 minutes before I walked in here.
Sure.
But we can go into, say, the mortgage rate service BLG. And you can see we do have a couple of spikes. We have charts. I have a few counters I've added, available megabytes. I have my current disk queue length, the processor time, et cetera. And if for each instance of my role, say if I have 5 web roles, it'll actually show up each of those as a different different server name in here. So I'll capture all the data across all of them. I can look at each individual server at a granular level. A couple other goodies we have in diagnostics is we have the ability to do the exact same thing with the Windows event logs and trace logs. So I have a little bit of data that I've already caused some crashes in my server, just to show you what it does. So in this little script,
just to show us what it does.
That's right. I would never ever write buggy code. So these 2, I'm not actually going to save to a file. I could save it to a CSV file just by passing that local path file. But I'm going to dump this out to the console just so we can see what kind of data is getting returned.
Now with these commands, you're using these new get Windows Azure log and get the Windows Azure event log. So you're getting the event log off of the instance.
Right.
Is this like Perfmon where you're getting the actual in an event log format, or?
This is not. This is CSV. So Perfmon, we judge out of all the ones that were hardest to analyze. You know, you can analyze event logs a little bit easier in Excel or something, just Notepad, for instance. Perfmon, not so much.
Okay.
So we took the one that had the biggest impact.
Yep.
But you can see in the Windows event logs, just from the screen, you can see that we're getting application errors. This is my rules engine service. It crashed, had an access violation. So we're able to suck that data down. And we can actually filter to only download error data too, so we don't have to download everything. It's really, really versatile in what you can do with it.
All within the PowerShell, not having to do anything
PowerShell.
In diagnostics.
Right.
Okay.
Nothing in diagnostics. This is no code. You don't have to write any code in your service. You don't have to, you know, add stuff to your role start or anything like that anymore. You can set all your diagnostic settings, and you can configure it and download it all within PowerShell.
Awesome.
Couple other areas I just want to show, actually just one more area, is SQL Azure. So we've added a lot of new functionality in SQL Azure, so you can actually script out creating of a SQL Azure server. You can reset your password, and you can update your firewall rules. So that's all portal work. So if you're doing this a lot for test and development environments, this will really be a big time saver. So I get a little script here. This one is actually just creating a new SQL Azure server. I'm passing it username, my SQL Azure login, my password, and I'm going to delete this. No one can have my server later. Pass in my management cert, my certificate subscription ID, and where I actually want to create the service at, or the server at. So you can see out here in the Windows Azure portal, kinda. Let's see if I can make that a little bit better. With the lower resolution, it messed me up. All right, so we won't show it in the portal because my UI doesn't work, or the resolution doesn't work. But I can go ahead and just run this, and it's going to reach out, call into the SQL Azure REST APIs, and it's going to create a new SQL Azure server instance. Oops, hold on. We got to get all the diagnostics data too because I forgot to comment that out.
Ah, we're doing two things at
That's
once.
That's right. Then. We're just being very productive.
Okay. Absolutely.
So you can see it returned back our new server name and returned back an operation ID, which we could use in another scripting context as well. So once that SQL Azure server is created, we can actually do some more stuff with it. So from here, I can call the get SQL Azure command. And that will actually, I can actually pass it an individual server name so I can manipulate that server. Or if I have 20 SQL Azure servers out there, I can get all of them and do some work on each one of them. So in this case, I'm going to enumerate through all both of my SQL Azure server instances. I'm going to set my password to be my reset password 1, and I'm going to add actually a couple of SQL Azure firewall rules.
Now, I love this because sometimes I'm completely guilty of doing this in my little experience that I have with SQL Azure. I go and set it up. I forget to enable firewall ports.
Right. And then you
so
try to connect.
Stuff breaks, right?
Stuff breaks. And if you're the IT pro enabled or tasked with setting this stuff up, you really don't want to have to go do this 10 times a day for, you know, whenever a developer needs a new test environment. You can now go ahead and create the SQL Azure instance. You can set the password, set the firewall rules, all within, you know, in this case, 3 lines of code. I don't have any cheaty functions in another file in this one. This is really 3 lines of code. So I can run this, and it will loop through each one of my servers, set the password, and set the firewall rules.
That's awesome, and that's really powerful for those of you guys who have these compliance things where you're having to reset those SQL Server
right.
passwords every 60, 90 days. You can just simply go, hey, look, I may not even know how many SQL Azure servers I've got running out there. In your case, this dev test environment where
right.
they're coming up and going down all the time, just go and enumerate it and just go do it.
Right.
And in 3 lines of code, that works
it's
for
done.
Me.
Exactly. So if you want to, for more information, I got a ton of samples out of my blog. I've been, ever since we published it out that I've been writing little samples of new things you can do with the PowerShell commandlets. It's michaelwasham.com.
Okay.
So just grab there and you can download the PowerShell commandlets. It's, see if I can remember that. It's WAPP PowerShell. Okay. It's on Codeplex. Just on Codeplex, search for Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets.
2.0, and then of course they could probably get it from your blog. You've probably got links
exactly.
there as well.
Exactly, there's 10 different links on my blog to it too.
Excellent. Well, Michael, I appreciate you coming in and showing off. I mean, for those of you that are IT pros, this is not heavy duty PowerShell
no.
stuff that we've got here. The fact that we can get this diagnostics data, that these are released in a mid-September-ish timeframe,
right.
and ever since I've seen them, I wanted to have you on to talk about this stuff. Love perf counters coming directly down and not having to look at them in Excel anymore. Thanks for coming by. For more information, check out Michael's blog. Don't forget, folks, if you've got stuff that you'd like to see on the Edge Show, make sure that you tell us. Either comment on this video on Twitter, @TNEdge, and of course, join the Facebook group for TechNet Edge. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week where Simon's going to talk about infrastructure and System Center 2012.